Coast Insurance is proud to be the title sponsor of Magic Time. You can find out more about us by visiting coastinsurance.ca. Coast Insurance, our goal is to bring you the best coverage for the best price.
Hi there, Moncton Magic fans. Welcome to Coast Insurance Magic Time. Scott Squires with you, and we are joined today by the head coach of the Moncton Magic, Joe Salerno. How are you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing well, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It was a little chilly cleaning off the car this morning, scraping the windshield and brushing the snow off. But hey, it is December in Atlantic Canada, right?
Yeah, it is. Definitely the coldest day of the year so far up here in Moncton, or at least of this winter. So, you know, but it's to be expected. It only means, you know, basketball is here and the regular season's coming. So I'm okay with it. I can handle a little bit of chill.
And the regular season is coming, and some big news coming out of the Moncton Magic camp. Last podcast, we talked about you getting the rights to Maurice Jones Sr. and the announcement made recently that you have signed. So you've put pen to paper, as has Maurice Jones Sr. How excited were you to get it done, and what does his signing mean to the Moncton Magic?
I was very excited to sign Mo. You know, when we made the trade, I mean, when you make trades, you never really know. You don't know 100%, you know, whether a guy's going to, you know, put pen to paper and end up coming and joining in your roster. You know, I knew that Mo was at home at the time of the trade. So I knew he was available. But again, you're never really sure if you're going to be able to come to terms or, you know, if he has other plans lined up. So I was happy to get the deal done. You know, it's just the first time I talked to Maurice after the trade. He had said he had heard good things about the Magic. You know, he liked the way our roster looked. He knew a couple guys on our team. So I knew there was a chance we could get him. And really, it was just about coming to terms financially and getting the deal done. So I'm happy. I'm really happy to have Mo. And, you know, for the team, it obviously brings in a pure point guard, which is something we're kind of lacking a little bit. You know, we've obviously looked at Jeremiah at the one this year. That's something that's a little new for him. He has experience playing the point guard position, but he's never truly been a sole, you know, point guard, lead first guard, lead guard on a team. So I think this gives us a little more depth at that position. And it also kind of allows, you know, Corey Allman and Jay Calise potentially, you know, to kind of play their more natural position at the two rather than sharing a little time at the one. So it does a lot of good things for our roster. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him in our lineup.
And with the regular season just a couple of weeks away, what's the deadline for you and the rest of the league to get final rosters submitted?
The league actually just sent a memo out yesterday or the day before, again, just reiterating that final rosters are due on December 23rd, which is 3 days before the regular season kicks off. You know, so that is the actual league deadline. I mean, for us, we're certainly looking to finalize our roster before that. You know, right now we have 12 players here, but only three Canadians. So again, the chances of us starting the regular season with probably a 10-man roster, you know, looks more and more likely for us. So my plan really is to try to have this roster finalized on Monday, you know, when we come back from Newfoundland. That was kind of the plan all along. Once we had finalized the preseason roster, you know, was to make that decision after this game on Sunday, and then really give us, you know, 10 days to kind of 2 weeks to practice with just our team we will open up the season with, and let them kind of build some chemistry and understand rotations and minutes. So again, we'll look to finalize our roster on Monday when we return back from Newfoundland.
And that game in St. John's will be on the 15th. Coach, what's an update on Corey and his hand?
Corey's, he's on schedule. You know, there was an outside possibility that he was going to be able to start practicing this week. You know, he's been seeing Dr. Duell, the hand specialist, regularly here. He actually saw him again this morning. They felt it was in our best interest to have Corey start practice next week. You know, so Corey won't actually be on the trip to Newfoundland this weekend. We'll be going up there with 11 guys. And, you know, our plan is to have Corey start coming back to basically 50% practice on Tuesday. You know, so he'll be passing, catching, dribbling the basketball at normal speed, but probably not any live full contact stuff until maybe that following weekend. you know, probably 5 or 6 days before our opener on the 26th.
How close are you, Coach, to finalizing that roster?
We're getting there. I mean, obviously, we've narrowed it down to 12 players here, you know, with the thought of keeping 10 or 11. So we're obviously much, much closer, but there still is a lot of kind of moving parts that goes along with this. You know, as I commented before we came on the air here, you know, I probably still have 5 different potential rosters that we could kind of see, you know, after this game on Sunday. So there certainly are guys kind of on the bubble right now, and whether that's been due to their performance in camp or, you know, the style in which we want to try to play this year, whether, you know, how well are they fitting into that, whether it's, you know, the salary cap coming together and being at the number that we need it to be at. There's so many different things that come into play. And again, we have about 5 different scenarios right now that kind of put us where we need to be at, and we'll kind of see how it all shakes out.
And even though it's an exhibition game, you know that there's going to be a great atmosphere at Mile One Center in St. John's. The fans will be out supporting the Edge. The Edge, you know, they lost to you guys in the finals, so even though it's exhibition, they're going to want to get a win. Those guys that are potentially on the bubble, what would you like to see from them, and how big can this game in St. John's be in terms of helping you and the coaching staff make those final decisions?
This is the final dress rehearsal, right, before the regular season. It's the last time we play a different opponent before December 26th. So it's a very important game for us. Obviously, it is going to be a great crowd up on the Rock. I mean, you know, I don't think the Edge have a home game until, like, you know, the first or second week of January. So this is really the only opportunity for their fans to see, you know, their new lineup and their new team, you know, for another month or so. So I do expect it to be a big crowd. And, you know, guys react differently, you know, in practice than they do when, you know, there's 3,000 people watching in a real game-like scenario. So it's an important game for guys on our team. You know, it's an important game to see where we're at as a whole. And obviously it's an important game for the Edge, too, considering I think it's their only preseason game. So it should be a great game, great atmosphere, and you know, I think both teams will be getting after it.
You say that you're looking to have the roster finalized not long after you get back from St. John's. What things are you going to be looking for, and what's going to go into making those final decisions?
We've done all the homework, we've looked at every possible scenario. I mean, we've talked every different lineup to death, you know, at this point in time. You know, we know the guys that we need to, you know, see put together a real complete performance on Sunday to potentially finalize their roster spot. You know, we may look at a couple guys kind of playing 2 different positions. There are a few very specific things that we'll be looking for in St. John's. And then after that, you know, there comes a point in time where you just have to make a decision. You know, you can continue to watch guys and watch guys and watch guys, and every day your mind may change or alter slightly from one guy to the next. At some point in time, you got to kind of draw the line in the sand, you know, go with your gut and using your coaching staff and all their input and just making a final decision and then running with it and being confident with the lineup that you have in place. You know, you feel that can win a championship in this league.
I'm just wondering what you and the coaching staff have planned. Once you do name that final roster, what are those next 10 days or so going to look like leading up to the regular season opener on Boxing Day? Just because there's the holidays in there and people want to have family time and things like that, have you taken that into consideration? What will practices look like? What's that window going to be like from the final roster naming till opening day?
Yeah, it's another reason, Scott, while my personal opinion, you know, I really I don't care for the Boxing Day start. There's a lot of other stuff going on, and you know, you're really trying to prepare and be ready to go for your first regular season game. You know, every single game this year really matters with the playoff format. And there's just so many distractions with the holidays, you know, when it comes to work, whether you have family coming up or, you know, I mean, obviously Christmas itself, Christmas parties, you know, sometimes it's difficult to get into gyms because everything is closed on Christmas Day, to have a practice, you know, the day before you open up. And, you know, even for us, you know, it being a 2:00 game on the 26th on the island, you know, we really don't have a shoot around time that morning. So it makes things difficult. You know, I mean, we have to be focused on this game. We want to get off to a good start. We obviously want to come into our home opener the next night on the 27th with a winning record. So, for us, it's, you know, we'll probably give the guys at least, you know, the 24th off. I will try to look to get into a gym on the night of the 25th. I certainly don't want to go 48 straight hours without having to practice with our guys before the regular season opener. So we'll figure it out. We'll still try to be business as usual. And, you know, we have to try to kind of put the holidays out of our mindset for a few hours and continue to work and be ready to go on the 26th.
And we'll just transition off of basketball for a sec, Coach, before we let you go. But, you know, you mentioned the holiday season, and there's always seemingly such good feelings and warm feelings around this time of year. And I saw a really touching post that you put on social media in this particular instance. I read it on Instagram. But maybe if you could just quickly tell the story about this card, this greeting that you received that put this smile on your face recently.
Yeah, yesterday I actually I got home from the office, and there was an envelope in the mail from me from a woman named Dina Santamore, who was actually the mother of a very, very good player I coached, you know, like almost a decade ago when I was coaching a really kind of elite AAU team in Vermont called Lone Wolf Athletics. Her son's name is Matt Santamore. And, you know, I coached Matt. It might have been two AAU seasons, which is really spring basketball, and we were on a travel team that traveled around and really played some of the most talented players in New England, you know, every weekend. And anyway, I mean, Dina sent me a birthday card. You know, I'm not sure how she got my address, you know, but I mean, she lives in Vermont, and I haven't seen Dina or Matt for, oh, at least several years. And, you know, every now and then we may get a note from them asking how we're doing, how the kids are doing. But, you know, it was just a nice thing to see. It was a total surprise. And, you know, she left a prayer card in there for me as well. And just to know that, you know, I had, you know, an impact you know, her son's life, and something that they still appreciate. And to reach out and kind of let you know that, I mean, it's, you know, it was a really, really nice moment. And it kind of, things like that help put into perspective why you do this sometimes and why you deal with the crazy schedule and the hours and, you know, what really is a difficult job. Little things like that just kind of remind you why you started doing this. And that was to help kids and impact them and be a good role model. And, you know, she kind of just brought all that back to the forefront for me. And, you know, it was really nice. It was a really, really nice gesture. And, you know, it made me feel great.
Yeah, really nice, really thoughtful, and it was quite nice when I read the post that you put out on your Instagram. And Coach, you referenced it. I know that you got a lot of wishes online, including for me, but we'll do it officially here on the podcast, even though it was a few days ago. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. It was a few days ago, December 1st. Yeah, it was the big 38. I feel like 58 most of the time, but 38 years young, and you know, it was nice. It was a nice birthday. I had my father was here visiting, and it was great.
You mentioned last time you were on the podcast that your dad was around during U.S. Thanksgiving, and you thought that he might be cooking up a meal. How did it go? Was Joe Sr. in the kitchen? What was he doing?
He was, man. He made a all-white seafood lasagna that had, you know, shrimp and scallops, and there might have been some lobster in there as well, and it was a legitimate, like, 3 to 4 cheese seafood lasagna, you know, with a nice salad and you know, garlic bread. Anyway, I mean, he does it right when he wants to cook. And, you know, there's nothing more I think that my father likes than, you know, having a glass of red wine and spending 4 hours in the kitchen, you know, while the kids are kind of running around, or back when I was a kid, you know, kind of popping in and out of the kitchen and chatting a little bit. And like that's his element. Like that's when he's in his element, and he's just kind of, you know, chatting away and cooking whatever and having a glass of wine. And that's totally my old man. So it was good. It was really good. I actually made sure I ate all the leftovers over the next week. And no, so it was great.
And what is the excitement level right now in the Salerno household with the two kids? Is it off the chain, Coach?
For Christmas? Yeah, I mean, they're getting excited. I mean, Dad's excited, right? We all know how much I enjoy Christmas, too. It's definitely my favorite holiday. So, you know, I bring a little element of excitement, too. And the kids, they're jacked up, man. You know, I think Christmas, when you're 6 years old and 9 years old, I mean, what's better? You get a bunch of gifts, right? You can ask this guy in a red suit for almost anything you want. And most of the time, you you luck out and get it, right? So they're really excited. And, you know, we did find out both of my sisters will be flying in on Boxing Day, one from Arizona and one from Vermont, to spend a few days with us. So they're very excited to see Aunt Jenna and Aunt Jess and, you know, enjoy the holidays.
You mentioned your sisters coming up. I'm guessing they'll be at the Avenir Center on the 27th for the banner raising. That'll be another Christmas gift, so to speak, a couple of days later.
Yeah, it will be. It will be so, it's so great to, well, I mean, in general, receiving our rings, having the guys presented their rings in front of our fans and seeing the banner go up that will stay up in the Avenir Center. That alone is extremely exciting. But to have my sisters, you know, here for that, to experience that with me, you know, that's pretty special. You know, I don't get to see them a whole lot, but they've been huge supporters of me, you know, ever since I started coaching. So, you know, once they found out that there was going to be a ring ceremony and a banner raising, they're like, you know, I got to come up there. My older sister actually last year was planning on flying up to, if there had been a game five of the finals back at the Avenir Center, she was definitely going to come up for that. So, you know, since we want it enforced, that I'll make my trip now and we'll come up for the holiday and see the banner go up. So, no, that'll be special for sure. I'm really excited to have them come up.
Yeah, that'll be really cool, and memories will be made. Well, listen, Coach, thanks again for hanging out and taking some time to talk to us on Coast Insurance Magic Time. Good luck against the Edge on the 15th. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks again, Scott.
Always a pleasure, sir, and all the best to your family as well.
All right, you as well. Take care.
Thanks very much. That's Coach Joe Salerno of the Moncton Magic. Great to have the coach on Coast Insurance Magic Time once again. And thank you very much for tuning in and listening to another episode of Coast Insurance Magic Time. Big, big thank you to our wonderful title sponsors, of course, Coast Insurance. You can check them out online, their website, check them out on social media, Facebook, Instagram. I'm Scott Squires. Have a great day, folks. Remember, if you can't take part in sport, be a good one anyway. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Firm Foundation Media Audio Network. Take advantage of audio with Firm Foundation Media.